League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What if I told you the Texans coaching staff is already set?
Well, since they don't have a head coach, I'd say you're out of your freaking mind.
Okay. Pep Hamilton. We see him as a quarterback's coach. Did a great job. Davis Mills, third-round draft pick. Did really good with him. Justin Herbert, you know, we know the story there as well. We talked about this during the season, that if you want to keep Pep Hamilton, you probably have to promote him to the offensive coordinator job, right? Who were the two guys that Nick Caserio fired a couple weeks ago? David Culley and Tim Kelly, offensive coordinator. That position's still there. Did he fire any of the other coaches? Nope. Those coaches are still around. Lovie Smith's still the DC. All of his assistants on the defensive side of the ball, they're still around. Pep Hamilton's still around. Pep Hamilton has turned down an interview for the Panthers offensive coordinator job. What quarterback coach in the world would turn down a promotion interview with another NFL team? Maybe one that's already been guaranteed a spot as the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans?
Jeremy, from now on, we're going to refer to this situation as the Joe Espada. Because this is what it is. In the football terms, this is the Joe Espada.
Okay.
I'll listen. You are coaching, you're a coordinator in waiting with a chance possibly for more. So what we need you to do is just be with us instead of out there interviewing to join some other staff. So therefore, we're going to take care of you. Your next contract's going to be a good one for next season, but we need you to hang with us and be patient.
Now, I mean, you're talking about 2022, where he's going to be the offensive coordinator? Like, he hasn't been named that yet.
No, I think that that's going to be, it's actually going to translate to whoever they hire as head coach. And that might maybe lean it towards either Mayo or, from the standpoint, a defensive-minded head coach, because you are already coming in knowing your offensive coordinator's Pep Hamilton. But I think that, again, I'm already convinced and hell-bent that it's a Patriots way guy that's going to be the head coach. But then if you are a Patriots guy and you have a relationship with Caserio and he tells you in honest conversation, Pep's my OC next year, you got to be okay with that. You're going to be okay with that.
And a defensive-minded coach who's also not a coordinator, who you might also have to be okay with Lovie Smith being your defensive coordinator,
and
right?
I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either. I mean, Lovie Smith, I thought, squeezed the most talent out of this team that you would have thought that they could be defensively. Like, they were a middle-of-the-pack defense whenever you look at that roster, and it's like, okay, this defense should be absolutely worst in the NFL. Lovie Smith out, you know, he outproduced my expectations that I had for Lovie Smith. I didn't like the hire of Lovie Smith, to be completely honest.
Why?
I thought he was too far removed from the NFL. He did a terrible, terrible job at Illinois. I thought the game had passed him by.
No win situation.
That's probably true. And in hindsight, yeah, that was probably the reason. But also the fact that he'd been out of the game for so long.
Well, but I think that he wasn't out of the game.
He was out of the NFL.
NFL
game.
Yes.
That's the point.
But I think that this goes back to the old theory of some guys are just good. Great coordinators that are never going to make great head coaches, and I always put Wade Phillips in that basket. Wade Phillips, one of the best defensive coordinators of all time.
Go Cougs.
But when Wade got the head coaching job, it just wasn't the right fit. And I think that you could easily say that about Lovie too. One thing he didn't forget was how to coach defense. And the thing that he was able to do was smoke and mirrors this year, and the roster that he was given, and he turned that chicken bleep into chicken salad in a lot of ways. Man, I was not. Here's the reason why I wasn't upset when they hired him. Because the one thing, whether he still knew defense or not, that he brought to the table was head coaching experience that your head coach didn't have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and he was probably a better head coach than the head coach that you had. I mean, David Culley, at best, and probably not even at best, was the third best head coach that they had on that staff behind Lovie Smith and behind Romeo Crennel, a couple of guys that had already had coaching history. But looking at the Pep Hamilton side of this, Like, he's a quarterback's coach right now for the Houston Texans. He tells the Carolina Panthers that I'm not interested in interviewing for your offensive coordinator job. It's not at all like this outrageous theory that Nick Caserio has already told him he's going to be the next offensive coordinator. So if he's already told that Pep Hamilton he's the next offensive coordinator, that means Nick Caserio is picking the staff. Again, you talk about the potential pool of candidates. They haven't requested an interview for Doug Peterson. They haven't for Byron Leftwich. Like, Nick Caserio has already picked the staff of this team. The only thing he really has left to do is to place the head coach at the top of the coaching staff and say, here you go, whoever it is, Gerard Mayo, Brian Flores, Josh McDaniels. Here's your staff. Pep Hamilton's the offensive coordinator. Lovie Smith is the defensive coordinator. We have a couple of other position coaches that are certainly going to be here as well. Here you go. This is my team. You're my head coach. And this is what we're going to do in 2022.
I don't disagree with you. I am adamant in my opinion, that I hate management picking assistant coaches. But I also realize it is now becoming more the norm than the unique situation that Daryl Morey was one of the first to start by doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a very, very ticking time bomb-like situation. It can blow up on you a lot easier than it can succeed. But it's obvious that it's becoming more and more of a trend. But if they're going to go with a guy with lesser experience as a head coach, I'm more apt to be okay with it when you're adding guys that have the experience and the knowledge and the reputation of guys like Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton.
Yeah, he hasn't done a bad job putting the staff together, right? Like, I think there's questions there, and it goes to the conversation we had yesterday. Like, does Nick Caserio have more power than any other GM? Like, he's assembling a staff as the general manager. Does that bother you?
It does. It bothers me that he is, but it basically tells you the trend from a head coaching perspective is going to continue as well, that there's only one new sheriff and new boss, and it hasn't changed, and it's Nick Caserio. So you either can be one of those guys that falls in line with him making every decision and calling every shot and doing it his way, or you're not going to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. I don't know that that's the right approach. I would like someone, even if it's Patriot way background tendency guy that takes the head coaching job, I would like a Brian Flores type guy that I know in the right situations, if he's adamant in his opinion, he's going to push back. I don't want Nick to be the end all be all because I've seen it end very badly with Bill O'Brien. I need a guy that doesn't have to do it every time, but at the right times, he pushes back.
And it's a pretty good indicator of what kind of head coach you're going to get if Pep Hamilton is locked in as the offensive coordinator, which is, I think, a pretty good conclusion to make after he's turning down other offensive coordinator interviews in the NFL. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
So Lenny, 832, ending in 8755, texts in and says, Texans need a really good offensive line coach. I don't care if they overpay that coach. But here's the question. Is it that they need a good offensive line coach? Because I think they have one in James Campen. But do you have to give him the right amount of talent so that he can do something with it and allow him, again, who's making the calls? Because we saw from a continuity standpoint, it was musical chairs in terms of what positions they were playing, especially Howard, but everybody else too. One week at guard, one week at tackle. You go here, then you go there. And you can't build continuity. So it's hard to criticize a coach or say you need a better offensive line coach. Maybe you need an offensive line coach that when he puts the line together, that you just trust he's doing his job and knows his skill and is going to do it the right way and lets him build the line that way and keep it that way.
Oh, I think the offensive line this year was more about talent than it was about scheme and coaching it up. Josh in Beaumont saying the GM hiring the staff doesn't sound right, but it would prevent an O'Brien situation of hiring friends instead of more qualified coaches. See, I'm not even dismissing the idea that a general manager hiring the coaching staff is the wrong thing to do. I think you can make the argument, you can make a case that the GM hiring the coaching staff could be for the betterment of the organization and the franchise. But the downside to having a general manager that does that is, again, you're going to limit yourself on what you can get as a caliber of the head coach. Doug Peterson is the example. The Byron Leftwich. They're not going to walk into that situation if they have multiple offers elsewhere. Brian Flores might not even walk to that situation because Brian Flores flips offensive coordinators like IHOP flips pancakes.
Well, and he butts heads with general managers.
Exactly. So,
and that could be another problem.
And to me, this is a huge tell that the Texans already have their staff in place. Pep Hamilton's the OC. They're just doing the dog and pony show, and they're going to announce the head coach that they knew was going to be 2 years ago before Nick Caserio even took this job.
Is that a smart business move, by the way, if you're Pep Hamilton? Here's where I'm going with that. They say in a lot of cases, you learn and you grow by going through the interview process. Even if you don't get the job, It's about going through the process. Even with the Rooney Rule and otherwise, you heard coaches that knew that they were only being interviewed because they met the criteria for the Rooney Rule, yeah. but they went through it anyway because it was part of a being able to get better, to learn, to understand the process. If I'm Pep, I might push back and go, hey, can we do this? I agree to let you guys know I'm staying. But let me go through the interview anyway, just so that I can get better as an individual. And if it doesn't work out here, that I will know what an interview's like to go through it as a head coach.
It's a valid point. And it's not as the head coach for the OC. And Pep Hamilton's been an OC before. Sorry, been a coach since 97. So I don't know if that resonates as well with like a Pep Hamilton who's been at a bunch of different places as it would be for a young head coach that hasn't been at a whole lot of spots. Now, if Pep Hamilton is locked in as the offensive coordinator, that's a conclusion that I'm making. Are you okay with Pep Hamilton being the guy that's calling the plays for the Houston Texans in 2022?
Absolutely. Because, one, it's not a playoff Super Bowl caliber team that we're worried about here. It's not an all-time franchise quarterback that we're worried about pissing off here. We're getting through another year. And you know what? His resume states, if it wasn't going to be here, obviously it was going to be somewhere else. He has earned his stripes and the ability to give this a shot and to be the guy. So why not here? Why not now? And just like you're analyzing talent, and evaluating Davis Mills and the talent that comes in the draft to find out if they're going to be a part of your long-term solution, Pep Hamilton fits the bill.
Pep Hamilton was not a great offensive coordinator in Indianapolis, but I'm okay giving him the run of this offense because Davis Mills was okay in his rookie season. Like, I don't want to see Davis Mills have to learn a new offense, learn from a new coordinator, learn from a new quarterback coach. And we heard even from Davis Mills throughout the season how much Pep Hamilton meant to, you know, him as a rookie in the NFL. I'm good with Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans in 2022 as well. 3522 saying, Jeremy, stop your love for Texas management. That's interesting. How can you believe anything Nick says? I don't think we believe anything that Nick says.
Eric the Dogwalker?
No, it wasn't Eric the Dogwalker. Wow. To me, I've been saying that Nick Caserio sends mixed messages through the media and that everything that he does is calculated. Like, I don't believe everything
maybe
he
you
says.
Do too.
I look at the action more than the words. Like, I really do. I think that's why we point out the bad trades that he's made. I think you can look at the draft objectively and say that it was a pretty good draft. Now, like, I think that message was about, like, you know, Nick Caserio picking the coaching staff. And I made the case that I'm not so sure that's the worst thing in the world. Like, it does prevent Bill O'Brien types that would come in and hire Mike Devlin as your offensive coordinator, who is just terrible. But it does give a pretty good clue and a pretty good indication that Nick Caserio might already know who his head coach is and that this Texans staff is already set.
I go back to the fact that I think you do send mixed messages, and that's why people think you actually love this regime.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Brendan had an incident with his shower this morning. We discuss it next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the breaks, why not talk about new brakes? Because I talk about them all the time, and I tell all of you, if you need your brakes done in any way, shape, or form, from pads and rotors to otherwise, or complete replacement of your brakes, you got to go to new brakes because they take care of you. And the biggest thing is that they do it at wherever you are, and they come to you so that you can do other things and multitask, and saving time is saving money. The rest of the details I'll give you is just all the other icing on the cake as to why you go with new brakes. But the fact that they have created this like curbside or delivery groceries so you don't have to spend an hour in the grocery store, but they're doing it with your brakes, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal idea, and they're absolutely executing it. They need more certified technicians because everybody is calling them because they know this is the only way to go with your brakes. It's really simple. You get in touch with newbrakes.com, nubrakes.com, set up an appointment. They figure out where you are and where you want the job done. It could be at your office while you're checking emails and having meetings and still working your regular day while they're fixing the brake issues in your parking lot. Or they come to your house in the garage or the driveway where they're fixing the brakes. You could be cutting the lawn, drinking a beer, watching a game. Who knows what else you could be doing? But you're saving time, which is saving money. And the details I was talking about, they use the same parts as any brake shop. They have the same competitive rates as any brake shop. They have certified technicians that only do brakes, so they're not going to try and upsell you, which is unlike other brake shops. And you're not at the mercy of a mechanic that takes his own sweet time and leaves you hanging while he decides how fast he wants to do the job. They were in and out for me here at the studios in 40 minutes. They did fantastic work. I couldn't be more happy and satisfied. And it was all while I was working instead of sitting in a seedy waiting room. Check them out today, newbrakes.com. Mention ESPN 97.5, save 10%. But more than that, save time, which is saving money. Go to newbrakes.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So Brendan lives in an apartment here locally in the city. Brendan, our producer, our esteemed executive producer. Apartment. Yeah. We text in the morning, kind of pre-show production stuff, and Brendan sent us a little complaint he had with his apartment complex this morning.
It goes so much deeper than a little complaint, man. So this is the first time in my life that I've lived, since moving out from living with my parents, that I've lived in an apartment for more than 1 year. I've pretty much always constantly been moving.
Okay.
I've been in this place for 2.5 years.
I hate moving.
Yeah, is there a reason for that?
So, I mean,
what do you have, just
not
suitcase?
To say I make a lot of money now, but I made no money before I got down here. And so even the small price increases that my apartments were making were pricing me out.
Gotcha.
So I just kept going cheaper and cheaper. And I'm in a really cheap place down here as well, and you get what you pay for. I've had this issue for probably since the freeze, so not to say there's no explanation for it, but my complex turns off the hot water at bare minimum once a week without warning. And it's been going on for months,
man. For what reason?
To repairs is what they tell me. I called them one time and complained. I was like, this is ridiculous. They're like, well, there's really nothing we can do. We gotta fix the pipes. Like, we have to turn off your hot water. And this morning it happened while I was showering, which isn't the first time. Guys, I got so frustrated, and I didn't tell you this in pre-show. I've never done this in my life. I wrote a Google review. I finally have decided, because this place is falling apart too. Like, it's a cheap apartment. It's been falling apart since I walked in. My refrigerator, the door handle came off one day when I tried to open the fridge.
How long did it take him to fix it?
You know what? I'm being completely serious. I request maintenance so much, I just didn't even bother. I still don't have a door handle on my fridge because I'm requesting maintenance multiple times a month. The place is a disaster.
You're not going to be asked back, but go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I've been there 2.5 years at this point, basically, and I'm finally, you know, ready to – I'm, like, done. I'm just not dealing with it anymore. When this lease is up, it's up. But, like, this one really set me off because, as I've told you guys, I walk before the show every day now.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of taking a shower, and my hot water is just gone. And I get an email, by the way, 10 minutes after I text you guys, saying, hey, we're shutting off hot water for the next half hour. But it's like, no, you're not shutting it off. It's been off. You shut it off already.
Yeah, you need that the night before, so you can plan accordingly. You need a lengthy heads up.
Regularly, it comes after the fact. Like, there's no warning, ever.
You could do the hot cold immersion stuff that Joe Rogan does, which apparently is really good for your health. Hot shower to cold shower, apparently it like fires you up.
It's not great for your favorite minor league baseball teams, however.
For the lug nuts?
Yeah, it's not good for the lug nuts when you go from hot to cold. I think Brendan can now give you his personal experience on that.
That's incredibly frustrating. I feel for you with that on Brendan. Like, you're taking a warm shower and all of a sudden, boom, it's cold without any sort of heads up. That's not right. That's not acceptable. Now, would you go as far to write a Google review about it, Joel?
I think the first thing I do, and you guys know me. I mean, we had this even with something that didn't come up on air. It came up someone texting me during the show yesterday. I am that guy. Like, if you rub me the wrong way or do me wrong, and my wife knows this to the point where she won't make any phone calls for anything. She just wants me to handle it because she knows that I'm like down to brass tacks immediately guy. Like, if that happened to me, I am marching my happy ass down to the manager's office and we're having a discussion. And like, I'm not leaving till there's some sort of resolution or I could take it another level because that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah, it sounds like Brendan's already done that, and he's like to the point now where it's like nothing's getting fixed. I would either have a conversation, like go to the office or like call them.
Yeah.
I've never written a Google review. Has anything, listeners, I'm curious, led you to write a Google review? 713-780-3776.
You guys know what's incredible is when I first moved in, I was able to put up with it a little bit more because like it's the most space I've ever had. I have an in-unit washer dryer. Like for me, when I first got there, this place, like, even though it was falling apart, felt like a luxury apartment. But it took 4 maintenance requests for them to stop my shower from having an electric current running through it.
What?
When I first moved in, if you touched the handle to change the temperature on the shower while you were in the water, you'd get shocked. And it took, so 3 requests.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that sounds like a lawsuit, yeah, that's, man.
Well, so what happened is in the fourth one, I went in and I said, look, if I get shocked again, I'm not coming here. Like, That's like, this is your last chance.
Whoa.
You guys need to make sure it's fixed this time. And this is the way everything is. But like, I didn't even write a Google review about that one because it was at the time I was like, my shower's shocking me, whatever. Like, I got an in-unit washer dryer, you know?
Man, that's rough.
Here's the thing. you start throwing your weight around at a certain point, and you start going to them and saying, before you do your Google reviews or anything else, say, you know what? I work in the media. I have the ability to put this out there in short time. And the fact that it's one thing to say that they turn the hot water off. If you run the risk of being electrocuted, that's a no bueno. That's a no, there's no fudge room here. We'll give you a couple times and a couple days to fix it. That's a either you pay real close attention to it and fix it immediately, or we got, like Jeremy said, we not only have issues with me and my lease, we have legal issues.
Yeah, you should have took a charge, like a life charge is what you should have done there. Take the life charge, file a lawsuit, and you wouldn't be working on radio. You'd be a millionaire.
You wouldn't be living in that complex.
Although
either.
I'm not sure that complex sounds like they'd be have millions of dollars.
I was
going to
say, I don't know that
you.
My complex has very much money.
Have you had any apartment incidents, Joel?
I was trying to think back when we were talking about this during our chat this morning on text, and I even went so far as to call my college roommate because when I moved to Houston, I didn't have any. And I was telling you guys, the one mistake I made was I got a brand new apartment that seemed to be too good to be true at the price that we got it at when we moved to Houston when we were hired by the Rockets. And Jeff Hagedorn, one of our announcers, and I, and a buddy of mine I grew up with that already lived here, decided to all three get a big place together. But it was brand new. It was affordable. It was in a complex with a lot of hot chicks that were, you know, in the industries that were at the pool all the time. We were like, this is great. But we did all of the research and development during the day. And then we found out at night we were across the street from Pete's Wildlife, one of the loudest and biggest clubs at the time. And after 10 p.m. on weekends, we damn well not better not be home, and we better stay out till bar time or a little later because otherwise we weren't getting any sleep. But other than that, I can't think of anything with the complex itself. I went so far as to call my college roommate going, when we had apartments when I was in college, did we have any issues that I don't remember? He's like, I just remember the only issues we had were when you wanted to beat someone's ass after bar time because they were being too loud or making too many comments when we were coming home from the bars. I was like, yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah. The apartment that I was at was pretty good. Like, I was pretty far back in the complex. I had, like a little tree area behind me. Like, I can't remember anything being wrong with it. I guess I was very lucky there.
So this isn't a complex thing, and maybe it's a story for another day. But Joel's story, he was kind of telling a little bit before we even got into the segment. While I was unemployed, I got the cops called on me for being too loud while playing video games.
What? What kind of video games you play, man?
It was actually Fortnite, which I think I'd probably get roasted for. But it wasn't like constant screaming. It was like one loud like cuss, and I hit my chair. And the cop literally told me, he's like, that someone was afraid you were like beating somebody.
And you just one little hit?
Yeah, well, I screamed loud at the same time.
What happened in Fortnite where you were banging something and then screaming really loud?
So I've since moved on from this part of my life, but for a little while, I was playing competitive Fortnite at a reasonably high level. I wasn't making money, but like I was pretty serious about it, especially when I was unemployed, man. When I was unemployed, I was playing it like it was my job.
Wow. So what happened to you?
This is 2 days in a row I found out things I did not know of. About Brendan.
I've never played Fortnite. How many? I knew it's like survival of the fittest, though, right? Like last one to survive wins the round or whatever.
They were the first one to. I mean, there were other games, but they were the ones who like really took that genre to a different level.
How many times did you win?
Oh, thousands.
Oh my gosh, thousands?
Thousands.
Man, that's something.
713. And I lost more than I won, Jeremy.
Sheesh.
I do understand that if you're a resident in the complex and you hear die bitch come from the apartment next to you, even if it was regarding Fortnite, I might be a little concerned.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I blame your neighbors on that one.
Yeah, I don't know that I can find any fault in that.
No, it was honestly what happened is the cop literally walked in. Like he goes, do you mind if I, you know, look inside? I
was
no,
really?
Go ahead. Well, he asked if I was alone and I said yes. And he asked if I cared if he took a look, and I said, no, go for it. He took one step in the door, saw I was actively playing video games, laughed, and goes, is it possible you screamed while playing video games? I was like, yeah, that's actually not only possible, quite probable.
He's probably made that call plenty of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, what about taking it a step further, though? Like I think I've told you guys this before, but the worst like neighbor-related story that you could deal with.
I had a party in high school. My parents were out of town once, and the neighbor across the street, whenever my parents got back, she came over to my parents and said, why didn't you invite me to the party this weekend?
Ow.
She did. It was an honest mistake, but yeah, I got burned on that one.
Well, the one that I always go back to, I was doing an appearance Lisa was pregnant, and the gate got open to our backyard, and our dogs got out. Mm. And all of a sudden, Lisa's calling me at the appearance in a frenzy, going, oh, my God, the dogs got out. And so I'm like, okay, just, you know, call them back in. Our dogs aren't like Cujo, and they're not attack dogs or whatever. And so I thought the whole situation was over. She's like, I got them back in the house. I shut the gate. Then she calls me again frantically. I go, what's going on? She goes, the neighbors are at the door. They said our dog attacked the woman. Ooh. I'm like, which dog?
Sounds like the pole assassin.
Which dog? To which she said, they described a dog we don't own.
Oh.
Wrong color, wrong size, everything. I'm like, okay. Now, to which she called the cops and wanted the cops to get involved. So then the cops come, and much like your cop, Brendan, the cop was like, seriously, there's no broken skin, there's no blood, there's no attack, as you put it, what's going on? To which then all day, the rest of the day, my wife, not me, because they didn't want any part of me, my wife was getting text from the woman that her husband was taking her to different emergency rooms until one would treat her for a dog bite. And then, of course, the real fun came when I got a letter in the mail several weeks later in which if I didn't pay to take care of all their medical bills and their pain and suffering, that they wanted to sue.
They were trying to take a life charge. That's a life charge right there. That's what
I'm
Brandon
telling you right
with the electricity.
Now.
It's what this lady was doing there.
Those people to this day regret ever doing that to me because every time I'm going for a run or I see them or they drive by the house
or we're
anywhere close, I am absolutely making comments to remind them that the neighborly thing to do is not trying to get me to pay for your family vacation and fudge an injury with an insurance company or a lawsuit.
Your neighbors love you, don't they?
Most of them do, yeah.
All right, when we come back, Howard Balzer, NFL Hall of Fame voter, joins us. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, joining us now on the HRNP guest line, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, Howard Balzer. Howard, thanks so much for coming on. All right, Super Wild Card Weekend. First time we've seen it on a Monday night. Second straight year of the 7 seed being into the playoffs. What do you think of the 7 seed? Do you miss the old days of the 12-team playoff, or are you okay with 14?
Yeah, I can see both sides, really. And certainly going down the stretch of the season, it keeps some more teams alive for a playoff spot. Certainly you have the chance of getting some, well, let's be fair, mediocre teams that make the playoffs. Last year was the Bears at 8-8. This year the Eagles made it at 9-8. And so it's understandable why some believe that. And of course, that team is going to play the highest seed that's playing that weekend. And we saw the Eagles get outclassed. We saw the Rams get outclassed by the Cardinals get outclassed by the Rams, and the Cardinals were the 5th seed. So I think there's always a chance for blowouts, and everyone wants to look at, oh, too many teams in the playoffs. But it's a lot of times it's not the 7th seed it's happening to. Certainly Pittsburgh, you know, had a rough go of it against Kansas City, but other times those teams have played well. So I think that, like I said, it keeps more teams alive, but you do cheapen it somewhat because there'll be a time, I guarantee, there'll be a time one of these years where there's going to be a team less than 500 getting in, although usually that happens more with teams from a bad division as opposed to a wild card team. But it's, you know, it's a tough league, and I think the more teams you have in it, sometimes that can save coaches' jobs that a lot of times don't deserve being fired.
Well, Howard, I mean, I had to talk Brendan out of playing taps or something because of your Cardinals, but I got to ask you because it really, really was disturbing to watch Kyler Murray play that game against the Rams because he just didn't look like himself. I've never seen him panic more or just basically look like the moment was too big for him. He didn't do what he does best and run. When he had receivers open, he was like indecisive. And it was just, I wonder how the Cardinals fan base is feeling about this. As good as he has been, and all the great things he's done, that was concerning to me if I'm a fan of the Cardinals.
No, and a lot of people do have that concern? And was the moment too big? Was it just the fact that the Rams just dominated that offensive line and they couldn't run, they couldn't pass? There might have been some open players on some situations, but there weren't too many guys getting open. And of course, the one play, which he had done once before, mm-hmm. on Christmas night, if people remember, when they played the Colts, the same thing happened. Horrible snap, and he's going back to get the ball in the end zone.
Yep.
And he's, you know, being pursued, and he just threw the ball into the air. And he was lucky in that one. It wasn't intercepted, but there was an intentional grounding, and it still cost 2 points. Sometimes you just have to take the safety. And to just throw the ball like that is the height of unacceptability. And so that's what raises the question in some sense more than any other. And sometimes you just have to gut it out when nothing is going right around you. And I think the Rams did the Rams, knowing that the Cardinals really didn't have a lot of weapons that they could go to consistently in this game. I mean, heck, Rondale Moore, James Conner, even Chase Edmonds for that matter, they might not have even played if it was a regular season game. But they gutted it out with the injuries they had. And so the line couldn't protect, and so it starts piling up on itself. I mean, heck, they had 5 consecutive 3-and-outs to start the game, and he was under siege. He was under siege the week before against Seattle. But I agree, you do have to comport yourself better and just stay above it when you're getting totally outplayed. And so that's hopefully for him, it's a learning type of situation, and that it doesn't happen going forward, because he's not a rookie anymore. He just finished his third season, and there's certain things as a quarterback he just can't do out there on the field.
Howard, who do you think was the most impressive team in Wild Card Weekend?
You know, you almost have to say Buffalo. And, you know, everyone was calling this Super Wild Card Weekend. Mm-hmm. And it was so super that 4 of the games were decided by a total of 90 points. And so that's 4 games that weren't even worth watching. But the way Buffalo just manhandled the New England defense, I mean, they scored a touchdown every time they had the ball, except for kneel downs at the end of the first half and the end of the second half. That was pretty incredible what Josh Allen did, throwing, running. Even the running game was working against that New England defense. So that was very impressive what they were able to do. And I was, you know, I know the Bengals weren't playing a great team, but to hang in there with a team that hasn't been very good, obviously has a second year quarterback, but they have a lot of weapons around Joe Burrow. That was pretty impressive what they did. Of course, the Raiders did drive down the field with an opportunity to score that touchdown at the end. They didn't, but I was pretty impressed with the Bengals. And of all the games this weekend, there was only one road team that won last, you know, in weekend. One was Monday night. There's only one road team that won of the 6 games. And if there's one road team that I'm really intrigued with, it's Cincinnati going against Tennessee on Saturday, because I think that game could be ripe for an upset as long as Burrow protects the ball, which he's been pretty good at generally during the season.
Well, I'm relieved, Howard, that you didn't say it was the San Francisco 49ers. When you look at all the head coaching moves that are being made within the league, when you look at what you're hearing and what you're seeing, twofold, from a Texans perspective, after all we've heard, and Nick Caserio is now trying to do damage control in terms of when he's on the headsets and Jack Easterby and otherwise, when you look at the Texans job opening, do you think that there's anybody other than someone that they know from the Patriots days that's going to end up getting the job? And from a Dallas perspective, are you surprised Mike McCarthy still has a job?
On the first one, I wouldn't be surprised if the reason for firing, and who knows, maybe they were going to fire David Culley anyway, but they waited till later in the week. And you wonder if the availability of Brian Flores was what potentially fueled that. Again, I thought he did a pretty darn good job in Miami, mm-hmm. and didn't deserve to be fired, and of course has that New England connection. So that will be interesting to see if he ends up getting the job. But, you know, after that, who knows? I mean, this whole thing is just a Wild West show with all the likely prospects being interviewed. I mean, I don't know if there's an assistant GM or personnel director, whatever the title might be. I don't know if there's one on any team in the league that hasn't been interviewed for some of these general manager jobs. I mean, it's pretty wild. But in terms of the Cowboys situation. I mean, everyone puts I don't know. I'm not usually part of the lynch the head coach mob. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me is that what happened at the end of the game was just as much on Kellen Moore as Mike McCarthy. And personally, I don't have that much problem with the decision, what they did. The execution of it was horrible. And they practiced against that. Every quarterback in the league knows, or every player in the league knows, if you have the ball in a situation like that, you hand the ball to the official. You don't give it to your center. That was number one. And he ran too far on that to get closer. And otherwise, they would have had the shot, that one shot to the end zone. So, yes, people say, well, McCarthy signed off on it. Well, what's the alternative? The alternative was throwing a pass over the middle or something like that. And then if there's a guy on that receiver, does he have time to even give himself up? So that might have taken more time if you throw the football, unless of course it's incomplete. And so I don't really have that much problem with that call. And so I think, you know, the Cowboys were, you know, they hung in, they competed, they played a pretty tough team with San Francisco. And you just mentioned, you're glad I didn't mention a road team winning with the 49ers. I mean, I think they're going to give the Packers a hell of a game. I really think that. And I don't know if they have enough to win, but this is a tough, gritty team. But what they really could be hurt by is the two guys. If they're back, that's a good thing for them with Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. And, of course, you have Garoppolo banged up with injuries on his hand and his shoulder on his throwing arm. And so that could be a problem for them. But that's a tough, gritty team, and I think they could give Green Bay a tough one this weekend.
Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, joining us in the HR&P guest line. Going back to the Texans job, you look at the candidates that are outside of the Patriots circle, whether it's like a Doug Peterson, a Byron Leftwich. How do you think they view a job in which the GM on the headset, whether that's a big deal or not, but then also fired the head coach after year one of a five-year deal while he's on the headset? You still have the Easterby factor kind of throwing a little bit of shade on the organization as well. How do you think it's viewed by people who don't know Caserio and Easterby in the Patriots way?
I think it's a real question mark. I think it's a red flag for guys that, granted, everyone always says, well, there's only 32 of these. But you also have to be careful in which one you accept, because that will define your career, at least as a head coach. And what chance do you have? And I've said this, if I was someone in that position interviewing for some of these jobs and they want to interview me, I would interview them. And first say, why would I want to work? And you have to say it the right way, of course, but why would I want to work for you? And then the second question is, who's my quarterback? Who's going to be my quarterback that I have a chance to win with in 2 years? Otherwise, I'm going to be out on the street. And so I think all of these guys should be looking at that and realizing it's about the right place and the right fit. And when you especially when you have a Nick Caserio come out, I'm sure you guys have talked about this with that hilarious press conference, when he's talking about what a great job David Culley did with establishing a culture and getting guys to play hard. And then when he was asked, what kind of coach do you want to get? And he said, well, quite frankly, it's a coach like David Culley. Well, then why'd you fire him?
Right.
You know, I mean, and so anybody coming into that has to come in with their eyes wide, wide open. And so I think that's a big question. And that's a question with some of these other jobs that open, where you go, man, you know, what chance do I have? And I'll go back a lot of years. Mike Holmgren was an assistant with the 49ers, and he was interviewing for jobs. This is before he took the Green Bay job, and he had a chance to go to the Jets. And they had an ownership issue. They had other things that he wasn't comfortable with. And he took himself out of consideration. He just said, I'll stay where I am with Bill Walsh and a heck of an organization and be confident enough that another opportunity will come my way. It did in Green Bay. He had Brett Favre as a quarterback, and the rest is history. So, again, you better have that plan for a quarterback. And it's not on you. It's about the person who's supplying the talent. And, heck, what did Nick Caserio do in New England to do that? I mean, Tom Brady? I mean, that's all they had, basically, in his career with New England. So he has to prove that he can be, you know, as maybe not as good as Bill Belichick, but even approaching it in terms of putting together a program. And we know that the Belichick tree, whatever it is, has not been very successful in the NFL.
Oh, Howard, great stuff as always. Enjoy the divisional round this weekend.
All right. Look forward to it. You ties too, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Howard Balzer, NFL Hall of Fame voter, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, joining us on the
I wanted
Killer
to ask
Beast.
Him, does he want the Bears job or the Vikings job? If everybody's interviewing and he's talking about the process, I got to believe Mike Mayock got a job. Howard Balzer should be interviewing.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to see Howard Balzer run an NFL team, and he'd still join us each and every week. 713-780-ESPN. When we return, Space Cowboys a good name or not? We asked the Wheelhouseman. When we return, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jake Asman joining us. Jake, you had a computer issue this morning?
Yeah.
And you're complaining about his computer.
Nightmare. I didn't know if I was going to have a functioning computer today. I was a little worried. So last night, I ran out of storage on my Mac, and apparently there's like your typical storage in your hard drive, and then there's this thing in your storage listed as other, and like that's what it's called on the hard drive, just says other. Those with Macs maybe have had similar problems. Well, if you run out of storage, there's like iMessage and podcast stuff and screenshots, whatever that storage falls under that certain category.
How much porn are you storing?
No, it wasn't even porn.
Oh.
I do that on my phone, not the laptop.
too much information. He does that on his phone.
Or the
iPad.
But
it doesn't give you optimal viewing.
Yeah, I mean, look, my computer's for work.
Joe. Okay.
I mean, come on. Got to separate, you know, work and pleasure.
I don't think anybody's checking your history and your cookies, but go ahead.
Yeah, you get the point, though. So I had to deal with this other thing. I don't know how to delete it. You can't just delete it normally. You got to look up a video how to do it. So I'm following the instructions on YouTube. And next thing I know, I thought I'm doing a good job following the instructions, but my computer just stopped working. Huh. Would not work, would not turn on. When you did turn it on, it would not load. So I'm like, I'm screwed. Bring it to Apple. They're like, oh, man, this could take a long time. We might have to send this off. And I'm like, oh, no, this is like my nightmare scenario. Luckily, the guy I worked with at the Galleria Mall was able to get this fixed in 2.5 hours. So that's better than a couple of days. But my entire day was spent
at the Galleria Mall. Give him a little something for the effort? Take care of him?
Let's just say we are my people called his people.
Okay, good.
And we've arranged something.
I like that.
The last Mac that I had what's called Psychedelic Mac. Where one day I opened it up and all of the colors were distorted and it never changed again.
The issue that I had was that I cleaned my keyboard with a Clorox wipe in the heat of the pandemic.
Mm. And why does the heat of the pandemic have anything to do with it?
Because I was more concerned than normal with germs and everything.
You thought the laptop was going to be
and it wasn't like I spilled water on it or anything. And all of a sudden, certain keys stopped working. So I took it to Apple and Apple said to me, look, you get the battery replacement and the keyboard replacement all for one not so low price. So I thought, you know what? It's relatively new. I'll do it. Then later on during the pandemic, I realized no matter what, the battery, if I didn't keep it plugged in, the battery would not hold the charge. And I'm like, it's a new battery. It should be under warranty. It was under warranty while the Apple store was closed during the pandemic to walk up customers.
Oh.
By the time they reopened, the warranty had expired and they basically said, I set up the appointment. I came in there, explained it. He goes, yeah, you're tough deal, but yeah, we're not going to be able to.
They didn't honor the commitment?
They did not.
Wow.
They told me, go find a college student who gets a substantial discount with a promo we're running right now and trade in your computer. Give us $1,000 or so. We'll just get you a new computer. I'm like, yeah, that's not the solution I was looking for.
Yeah, that's kind of a weak answer there. Sugarland changed their name from the Skeeters. Joel's wearing his Skeeter hats to pay a little bit of honor to the former Sugarland Skeeters. They're now the Space Cowboys. Do you like the name?
As broken on the station last night around 6:50.
Oh, okay.
We broke the news. We heard from our sources that the Space Cowboys was going to be the team name.
Okay, do you like it?
I do like it. I do like it. Phenomenal movie, right? Clint Eastwood, great, great movie, Space Cowboys. And I'm kind of in on the name. I like the Skeeters. You know, BK making his skeet jokes was enjoyable. But, you know, we're on to bigger and better with the Space Cowboys.
So the mascot's going to be named Maurice?
Maybe so.
I mean, I'm trying to go with it here. I mean, you know, the gangster of love. I don't know if that's the kiss cam.
I'm trying to help.
From a marketing perspective, I'm trying to put this all together.
Hey, you're always thinking from the business standpoint, Joe. I always respect that about your background.
I don't like the fact, and living in Sugarland, and I can tell you that polling people from the Starbucks to the gym this morning to otherwise, and to a gentleman that was actually wearing a Skeeters t-shirt, they are not happy with this change.
I think they'll be all right. I don't think that the mob of Skeeter fans is going to be that hot where they're going to like
there won't
the
be protests
back.
Is what you're saying?
I don't think there'll be protests in the mean streets of Sugarland about
Skeeters
the name.
Skeeters fans could be out for blood. See what I did there?
I did. I saw what you did there. Any other great names in sports? On a day you're wearing your Ithaca Bombers shirt, which is a great nickname, any other great names in sports, the nicknames that you like? We had a draft earlier, and I think Brendan won the draft pretty unanimously.
Ooh.
On Twitter.
I will say I actually like the Seattle Kraken's name. That's the new NHL team this year in Seattle. I like the Kraken. I like the logo. I saw it up close. Someone in the company was wearing a Kraken shirt the other day. So I actually liked the Kraken a lot. I thought that was cool.
Okay. Kraken was an alcohol. There was a Kraken was some kind of a whiskey or a rum at one point. But I was like, I didn't get
that.
It was
a sea monster.
Plus, that's what the original origin is. But then Craig had some bizarre nickname for someone with the Kraken while we were doing games together too that I never thought fit. So I guess I had soured on it from that perspective. But yeah, I wouldn't have thought a Kraken is one that I would bring
up. Kraken, Kraken? I mean, there's plenty of puns.
That's enough.
What's coming up on the wheelhouse?
And I have bad dad jokes?
Come on. I mean, have you heard our show with the amount of
yes,
dad
I have.
Jokes? I mean, I think we lead Houston in dad jokes on our program. What's coming up? We will be all deciding on what the dream coaching staff would look like for the Houston Texans, and will they actually hire outside of the Patriot tree?
You have Charlie Weiss on that tree?
No, Charlie Weiss will not be on that tree.
Is Pep Hamilton on that tree?
Jack Easterby's on the tree as the character coach. We're going to get the best character coach in football, and that would be Jack Easterby.
CEO of culture. What would you say if I told you that the Texans already have their staff in place?
I wouldn't be shocked. I think there's something to that report, and we're going to talk about this coming up, about Lovie Smith turning down the opportunity to interview for the Panthers OC job.
You mean Pep Hamilton.
What did I say?
You said Lovie Smith. The coach is the other side of the ball.
Sorry, Pep Hamilton, and then, you know, good point. They're talking about Pep Hamilton, not Lovie. But Lovie, the fact that it's still kind of up in the air if he's back, I think he could be a part of the next staff as well. Cody reported on our show that he heard from someone that they offered Lovie the job before they gave it to Cully. So Lovie was just convinced on just being a DC. He didn't want to be a head coach.
He didn't.
How would you
job?
Not want the head coach?
Hold on a second. So much here. How in the world do you hire Lovie Smith to be your head coach?
Well, apparently.
And he would have been a better hire.
He would have. Yeah, well,
absolutely.
He was the best coach on the staff this year, so he knew what he was doing, just focusing on defense. But, yeah, that's what Cody said yesterday. He said someone in the know told him that. So I think there's a chance Lovey's back on the staff next year, regardless of who the head coach is.
Dude.
It seems like they really like him.
That's such a knock on Caserio. Like, he was 6-10, 2-14 in his 2 years in Tampa Bay. It was absolutely terrible, and it was awful as a head coach at Illinois for 5 seasons. How in the world would Lovie Smith? He was Tampa Bay after the Bears head coach.
He did go to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman.
He had success in Chicago. Yeah. Tampa Bay, he was terrible. 8-24 in the last 2 years. He was terrible at Illinois. If he would have hired Lovie Smith to be his head coach, how was that ever a scenario for Caserio?
Especially when you had Jim Caldwell or you had Leslie Frazier.
Dude, if that's for real, that's a major red flag on Nick Caserio.
Wait, are you pooping on your boy Nick Caserio?
Look, I just call
BFF?
It like I see it. I just call it like I see
Don't
it.
Don't you dare.
Just call
Don't
it like
change
I
the
it.
Narrative. You love them.
Dude, for real, though.
You love him.
If it's true.
That's
scary. Yeah, I mean,
well, I'm not going to deny Cody.
No, I'm sure Cody, whoever told him that, is probably in the know. So I don't dispute it. But
was that while Cody was at the Houston Texans gym?
Texans Fit, I believe, is the name of the gym. Mm-hmm. Is that where he lost 60
The official
pounds?
Gym of the Houston Texans.
And also where Cody Stutes lost 60 pounds.
That's what I'm
saying. He lost them all there?
Only there. Like, when he left the gym, there was no weight loss, but when he stepped in the gym, he lost 60 pounds.
He actually put up a poster to try and find them, but no one has been able to return them.
All right. Jake, we'll be listening. Good stuff as always. Thanks for tuning in. Glad your computer's okay.
Glad it's
not busted up and all ripped up. I would have loved to listen to the show, though, if you didn't have a computer. I'll be honest.
Let me just say this. For those that don't know, what used to be the necessities of a radio announcer have all been canceled for what you have to have for a show. If you lose your laptop,
you can't do that. You can't go to work.
You are screwed.
Yeah. I would have loved to listen if you didn't have the computer, though. I'll be honest.
You want me to fail. I see.
No, I don't want you to fail. It would just be entertaining for me. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for Brendan doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.